for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 314 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week, I get to talk about The Death of Love, a new comic from Image that is coming out on Valentine's Day. I discuss the book with creators Justin Jordan and Donald DeLay. We discuss how the book came to be, about different characters, including some Cupids that are involved, as well as what this book can be in the future, and maybe some other Death of series. A word of warning, for some reason, the background noises were a little louder than I am used to on Skype recordings, so Skype might have been having some fun with us. But please don't let that distract you. We have a good interview and good conversation, so I'm sure you're going to enjoy what they have to say. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show.
Her penultimate sighs caught softly on the kindling wind, her saintly eyes filling with tears, lifting with truth, leaving her screams breaking my heart, and in the grip of fire I knew the death of love.
It's a pleasure to welcome to the podcast Donald DeLay and Justin Jordan, the creators of a tremendous book that's coming out called Death of Love. And how are you doing tonight? Let's start with you, Justin. How are you?
I am excellent. How are you?
Good, good. And Donald, how about you?
I can't complain. Just another day closer to retirement.
Well, don't worry. I've actually retired, believe it or not. And so you just end up doing more than you thought you would. So, well, why don't we'll dive right into the book. This book, I understand, Death of Love, is going to be released on Valentine's Day, which I find interesting. So, Donald was telling me before we started to record about the fact that originally you had planned for the trade to come out around now, but real life got in the way of comics for a while. And so now the first issue is going to come out. Talk about that. I mean, you know, you guys have obviously been working on this concept for a while. I mean, you couldn't pick a better day for this book to come out in my mind than Valentine's Day.
No, that was actually Eric Stevenson's idea. We originally were planning on releasing the book in around October for the first issue, which would have put it out the same time as Family Trade and the Luther Strode hardcover, both right. of which I had debuting from Image then. And he's like, yeah, that's a bad idea. That's too much stuff all at once. He's like, how about Valentine's Day, which I thought was a good idea, because we had indeed, we're trying to get, we had initially tried to aim to get the trade out then, but that would have required starting the miniseries in September, which we weren't quite able to make with the first issue. So that seemed like a good idea, and it actually happily allows us to have almost all of the book done before the first issue comes out, and probably actually all of the book will be done by the time February 14th rolls around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. At least I can promise that on my end it will be. I have 1.5 pages left to draw.
Oh wow!
See?
Oh wow! Well, that's great, because I was telling the Frank Miller story about Dark Knight Returns, about how the first issue came out, and then the second issue came out a month later. Issue 3 came out 6 months after that, and then issue 4 came a year after that. I didn't know if I was going to live to see that book, to read that final book, but it was worth the wait, but it was a long wait. So I guess what's going to happen then is this will be coming out monthly. Is that what's going to happen from the Valentine's Day? It'll come out basically that time of month, every month after that?
Yep.
Good, good. Now, why don't we start talking about what the concept is? Because the cover makes me laugh out loud, I have to say. I get a huge kick out of it. Why don't we start with you with this one and talk about, because you can influence the art and things like that and how you chose what things were going to look like. Talk a little bit about what the basics are for this comic.
You mean as far as design goes?
Yeah.
That was, I think that was mostly Justin. He sent me character descriptions and actors that he thought would fit the part. Like Bob, he was described as Brian Posehn. type. Mm-hmm. I made him a little stockier, kind of like a heavy lifter kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Mountain.
Right.
I just made him wider and a little more muscular,
mm-hmm.
but kind of teddy bearish.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all the descriptions pretty much came from Justin, and I just went with that.
Okay. Well, then why don't we get to you, Justin? Why don't we find out what's the concept behind Death of Love? What's going on with it?
So basically, Death of Love is about a kind of unlucky in love guy. He's a nice guy, and that's with a capital N and a capital G, who gets the ability to see the Cupidae, as we come to refer to them as in the cert, that gives him the ability to see kind of the mechanics of love. And he would like to know why he is not getting any love, so he tries to interrogate a Cupid, and things go rapidly downhill from there. Which is not much of a spoiler, because the first pages 2 and 3 are him going after a bunch of Cupidae with a chainsaw, so, you know, we get... Mm-hmm. Get into it early.
Wow. The initial discussion in the very first several pages, you talk about the fact that he's a nice guy, but there's a big flaw in his reasoning that comes out in that. And I don't know if I don't think we want to reveal it at this point, but his best friend actually has a heart-to-heart with him and tells him something that he didn't realize about himself, which I kind of liked. And of course, he's wearing red pants, the main characters, which I find interesting. You know, having to do with Cupids and angels and all those kinds of things. For him to be wearing red pants, especially now the book's coming out on Valentine's Day, I think that's entirely appropriate. I get a huge kick out of that.
Yeah, I think so. And we had a pretty good red theme going on to begin with between the, you know, it is kind of the color of love and, you know, the color of unbridled gore and destruction. so we have both of those in this book.
Mm-hmm. All right, now, Donald, why don't you talk to me about the cover, about designing the cover, because you've got a heart on there, and you've got a couple of Cupidae, as they're being referred to, with the main character there. And let's just say that the two different Cupids are not, well, they're different characters, apparently, different characteristics. Talk about the cover and why you did things as you did.
Well, the heart design was Justin's idea. He thought it would be nice to have a kind of design theme throughout the entire series, mm-hmm. to make it recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
But for the imagery, I wanted to have one of them look cute,
mm-hmm.
Like the way you would see them from, you know, pretty far away. But then once you get up close, they're just evil looking little bastards.
Okay. I have to ask, of course, this makes me think, maybe Justin, are you putting any kind of your real life experience and feelings about love and the how these things work into this character, into the story?
I think not for the most part. I think, you know, it's hard pressed. You'd probably be hard pressed to find a guy who hasn't at some point wondered why a girl hasn't picked some other dude instead of him. That though, if you kind of take it out to its conclusion, can get you in kind of a bad place where you're sort of thinking that, like, well, if I'm nice to these women, maybe they'll, you know, maybe they'll love me and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's that's the nice guy kind of thing, mm-hmm. writ large, which is, you know, a really dehumanizing way to kind of look at women, because it's not about them as a person. It's them as, you know, an object of your desires, and what you can get out of them makes the relationship very transactional and in a very dishonest kind of way. And I don't know that I've ever really gone, hopefully not gone completely down that road, but, like, you know, I've been in that position of thinking, why is she with that asshole? You know, yeah, that
yeah.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the same path that leads you to where Philo is. Philo's taken a lot further, hopefully, than I ever did. So, but yeah, I think that's a fairly natural experience, especially for a lot of people.
Yeah, because the debate in the first several pages, I have to say I got a huge kick out of, because he thinks, he's justified in this. There are women who want to be showered with good things, and they feel that that's the important part of the relationship. And he's done that. But it hasn't worked out that way. I mean, they've gotten the good things, and that's all that they really wanted from him. And so when I was reading this, I kept thinking, man, I've had this discussion with former roommates. You know, this kind of stuff is, why is it I do all this stuff and she doesn't want me after all this? And I said, well, you might want to think about that a little bit. But this book is very much, it sang to me in that way, because I kind of thought, were you listening to my conversations with my former roommates when you wrote this? Because I've had this discussion with folks, so I got a huge kick out of it.
Yeah, that kind of thing is extremely common. So hopefully that's something that kind of resonates with people and, you know, Phyla shows them what they kind of don't want to be in mm-hmm. that regard. And that's sort of Bob's role through much of this is to point out that, like, you know, dude, no, that's no way to look at things. You know, Bob sort of serves as our Greek chorus to comment on you know, Phyla's thing just so just so the audience knows that, you know, we're aware that this is messed up. Mm-hmm. Rather than being an endorsement of how Phyla views the world.
Yeah, yeah. I was just really fascinated by it. But, of course, now I have to ask, is the title based on something, Death of Love? I'm kind of fascinated by that. Is a love going to die in this book, or are we going to – is love itself going to die as a result of all these things? And, of course, you probably can't say much because this is only the first issue, so
– I'm going to say you'll certainly have to read it, but certainly a lot of Cupidae are going to die.
Ah, okay. Okay. Now, talk to me, Donald, about the way that you designed them. I mean, it looks like they're almost classic Cupid kind of setup, but with your own twist to them.
Yeah, I didn't want to stray too far from the classic imagery of the Cupid. Mm-hmm. When I did the initial sketch that got the whole thing going, when Justin posted that on Facebook, the original sketch that I did had them looking kind of gremlinish. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but in the final version, I didn't want to stray too far from the traditional Cupid look.
Right.
Just because... A, it's funny mm-hmm. to see these people going after and killing little man babies with chainsaws and baseball bats. Yeah. And it's a recognizable image, so it creates a bit of familiarity to it.
Mm-hmm. I like the fact that their arrows have hearts on the end of them, basically. all those basic things that are. But the funny part to me, though, is seeing the unhappy Cupid in the upper left part of the cover. I just, you know, the way that you did that face just made me, that's one of the things that made me laugh, was that's not the way that I expect a Cupid to look, you know, and so I had to go, wow, what's up with this guy? So we got to find those things out.
The angry Cupids and the sad Cupids that we get throughout the book are actually pretty hilarious. I didn't actually mention this when we were doing the script and stuff, but it always kind of reminds me of, in a positive way, the baby from Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Who played a baby in the cartoons, a cartoon baby, and then when he was done, he was smoking a cigar, and he was real foul-mouthed and stuff, and that just cracked me up, which I think that kind of dissonance between what you're expecting and what you actually get is where a lot of the good humor comes from.
Mm-hmm. Now, Justin, how's this the plot going to progress? I've seen the first several pages where you have this discussion, and then things start to move along. I don't know how Phyla is going to be able to see all this stuff, and I'm sure you're going to explain that as we move forward. Is I don't want to spoil too much out of the first issue because I want people to be able to go out and buy it, but as far as the concept of him being able to see the Cupids and stuff like that, I find that really interesting because you don't often get that. It's usually that we can't see them at all, even though somehow we know what they look like, which I always find interesting. But talk about that, about how, you know, without giving, you know, spoiling it, how is there a process by which that he can access these creatures?
There is. There's a device, and it's not a literal device, but a plot device that allows Phyla and then eventually others to see the Cupidae. Unfortunately, it doesn't last a particularly long time, so he has to kind of keep redoing it, but it does give him access to that, and you do by the end of the series find out exactly why that happened and who allowed it to happen and what their motivation was for doing that.
So there's mythological beings involved more than just the Cupids.
Indeed. There's at least two more that you'll see.
Boy. Now, of course, I'm going to turn to Donald and ask him about the artistic rendering of those characters. When you do mythological beings, I mean, you got the Cupids down just hilariously and really wonderfully well. These, without spoiling who those mythological characters are, I mean, did you have to refer to, like, classic mythology to come up with those characters' appearances?
Well, I looked at some classic mythology, some of the imagery for those characters, and I also went on Pinterest and just looked at different versions of it and tried to find something that really hadn't been done before and put that out there.
Like, oh, cool.
Mostly people try to do celestial looking god type, you know, armor or flowing robes or things like that. And I tried to tried to think outside the box and come up with something a little bit more original.
Now, I got to ask you, Donald, of course, the cover, as you talked about, the color red is on there. Are we going to see a lot of red as we go through? You're probably not doing the coloring in this book, but you probably have some sense as to what should be red and what shouldn't. You know, you got like a blood splat behind the characters on the cover. Are we going to see a lot of the red that you know of? Had you drawn things so that there might be a lot of red in it?
I didn't particularly draw it so that there'd be a lot of red, but Omar Estevez, he's coloring it. He's doing a fantastic job. He's definitely using a lot of red.
Okay, well.
You will be seeing a lot of red.
Well, you know, as we've talked about, the fact that red is a thing about horror, and it's also a thing about love, so, you know, that tie is going to be something we're going to see a lot of, I expect, in this book as we go forward. So, Justin, I got to ask, is this a miniseries ongoing? How's this going to work?
It's a miniseries. So by the time we get to issue 5, you'll have a complete story. There's some potential for other stories set kind of in the same universe with those characters, because how they kind of solve all these problems does not make someone real happy with them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you get Death of Love will tell a complete story. So we get 5 issues of that.
Mm-hmm.
No, of course, and the 5th issue is a 28-page one.
Cool. So bigger one. Any more interest in things in this universe, or is this going to be the Death of Love, the total story right there?
It'll be the total story. We might do the Death of fill in other emotion. This one is successful, and Donald wants to do it.
I'd like to do a Christmas special.
I think. Christmas story special would be amazing.
I was just thinking that same thing about the Death of Christmas or something on there.
Yeah.
That it's just funny how that worked, because I thought about that one, because Valentine's Day and Christmas are sort of related in some ways. You know, the reds and all that, the love supposedly going on, which often leads to a lot of conflict, to be honest. So if you guys were thinking of Death of Christmas, boy, if you put that out like right around Christmas, that would be ideal. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I would certainly be down for it. So it's always, you know, with everything comics, it's a matter of whether or not we can financially make it work, because it's always a big, you know, roll the dice and see what happens.
So buy the book, people.
We need more of this kind of good thing.
Ten copies apiece.
That's right. Death of series going on here. Now, Donald, why don't you talk a little bit about, because I know Jordan stuff because of Luther Strode and things like that, all the books that you've been involved with. We'll get to your stuff. What other projects have you done in comics? Because I'm not as educated on yours as I am on Justin's.
You could pretty much say that this is my first one.
Really?
Technically, it's not. I've done some very small press stuff for Greyhaven Comics. I was in a few anthologies, and I did a one-shot called My Geek Family, written by Doug Hanner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's how you say his last name.
Okay.
They had very small print runs, but this Death of Love is my quote-unquote big break,
okay,
I guess you could say, into mainstream comics.
Oh, wow, because it doesn't... I don't get that sense that this is your first comic, honestly. It's such a well-drawn, you know, piece that I never dreamed that this was your first... Now, granted, you've done other stuff before, but, you know, it really shines, I mean, as far as artwork goes, particularly, that you bring a lot of this stuff and add a lot of emotion and, you know, facial expressions and movement and stuff like that to it that I really like.
You flatter me, sir.
Well, I like it. That's one of the things I really like about this book, is that it's very dynamic. I think, and we'll get to Justin's part of it, too, in just a second, but I really thought you did a great job with this, so I'm honestly surprised, but I guess, you know, you've had good experience before, so it's just a fun thing. I hope you get to do a whole lot more. While we're talking to you, are there other things that you've got, other irons in the fire, since you basically got this put together? How many other projects have you got coming that we can know about?
I'm working on another pitch with Justin after this.
Oh,
yes, sir.
I don't know if he wants to say too much about it. I mean, we've put a couple things online, sketches and a description, but it's going to be another very fun book full of ultra violence and blood and comedy.
Oh boy!
Talking cat.
A talking cat. Okay. All right. This be interesting. I can see you drawing a talking cat. Honestly, I can see that happening. And
people are going to love the cat.
Okay. Okay. Now, Justin. Luther Strode, of course, is, I think, what a lot of people know you from. Talk about other stuff that you've done that we should be aware of if we're not already.
Sure. So I've also, at Image, I did Spread, which is actually wrapping up here soonishly. We've got one more issue left to go, and that'll be issue 25, which will be the complete series. So I got to do a nice, fairly long run on that. I've also done Dead Body Road with Skybound at Image. And then right now I've also got The Family Trade, co-written with Nikki Ryan, with art by Morgan Beam, coming out right now. And then starting in February, I'm co-writing Sideways with Dan DiDio at DC. So it's got Kenneth Rockefeller. On art. Yep.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to that.
That should be fun. Because what's it like to work with Dan DiDio? And I don't expect you to see what a horrible person he is, but what's it like?
It's actually fun. I like Dan. I've always liked Dan. I have had in the past had some minor kind of disagreements with him story wise, but actually the Sideways stuff has been remarkably smooth. And Kenneth Rockefeller has really like knocking it out of the park with the art. It's really. Really beautiful book, and reading it, it's a really fun book. So I hope that people dig it. I feel like it could be a book people really get into.
What's the basic storyline of Sideways?
So basically, a kid falls through a portal into another dimension, and when he pops back out, he has the ability to make rifts, and as anybody growing up in the DC universe would, he decides to become a superhero, and he is not great at it.
Wow.
So it's just kind of a him trying to, you know, young kid trying to be a superhero. He's not grim and gritty. He's, you know, a real optimistic kid who, you know, wants to do the best for people. And he's trying to navigate how to be a superhero while still juggling having an actual life and that kind of stuff.
So is this part of the New Heroes line that they're doing?
It is.
Okay, great. So that's a good place to land.
I'm also doing Curse of Brimstone, which is another part of that New Age of Heroes, and that's with Philip Pan on art.
Oh, wow. Okay, sounds good. You got to tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Sure. Curse of Brimstone is about a kid from a nowhere town. It used to be a coal town. He basically makes a deal with, not the literal devil, but somebody who might as well be, to save his town from obscurity, and it turns out that was a really bad idea, as deals with the devil often are. But it's kind of this idea of trying to explore. So, you know, in the DC universe, you see Metropolis and Central City and Gotham, all that kind of stuff. But like our universe, there's lots of other places where bad stuff happens, and there are absolutely no superheroes around to save them. So this is the story about those towns.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Were you part of that? They had a get-together where they were coming up with new concepts and stuff like that. Were you in the gathering?
I was.
Wow. Okay, cool. Very smooth. Yeah, because a lot of the stuff I've talked to, like John Romita Jr., he was there, and they were coming up with different concepts. Basically, the idea was to come up with new heroes.
Something
different.
They wanted to... They wanted to do a line of characters that weren't legacy heroes. They wanted them to be new and fresh and that kind of stuff, and try to just deepen the bench about what they're going to do. So they come up with the New Age of Heroes. And the books from that line that I've been able to read so far, since I'm writing two of them, I get to actually read the others, have all actually been really good. So I am hoping that I don't let down the batting average, and I am hoping people dig them.
Well, what you're going to have to do is do a crossover with all these characters and have Donald do the drawing on it.
Right.
Which would be super. That'd be fun to see you guys doing all, you drawing all the characters and kind of doing your take on them, as well as Justin providing the writing.
Yeah, it'll take me a year.
You know, I always remember, like, when George Perez would draw team books, he would always retch about how long it took him to draw stuff. And so I guess it's the kind of the same thing with you. It's a little easier if you have the same character that you're going to get. These characters, you get their appearances in your mind, and it makes it a little easier to draw the different kinds of characters.
Yeah, it takes a while just to get into the groove of a character.
It's also probably not helpful in Death of Love that I continually ask Donald to draw like hundreds of characters on a page, or hundreds of anything. Like, here's hundreds of arrows. Just, you know, fuck you, artist man.
I notice you're not responding there, Donald, but that's okay. We won't ask you to.
Yeah.
But but see, those are what makes stories fun, though. And I'm sure, Donald, you understand, too, is that the visuals are very important in comics. Otherwise, we'd be buying novels. So the way that you do the images, I think, are going to make the whole series fun. And like I said, I'd like to see you work. I'm glad to hear you guys are working on some other possible story to tell, which is
kind of fun. I've really... really liked working with Dono. He's a very good cartoonist in the sense of, and literally a cartoonist in that he's very good at adding little things that you wouldn't normally find in a lot of comic books, but would not have been out of place in Tex Avery type cartoons. And sort of a visual kind of dynamic to it that I think really looks different than almost anything else on the market, which is just the right thing for the kind of book we were trying to write. Yeah, so,
but that's a good thing because, you know, honestly, standard superhero artwork, you know, as much as I love it, and I love standard superheroes and stuff like that as well, but to see something like your drawing of the Cupids and the what do you call the guy who's got the implement, he's trying to cut them in half and stuff like that.
Philo, yeah.
Yeah, the way you draw them is really kind of interesting because we get the expressions, and expressions are so often, you know, instead of Justin having to write, I'm really angry somewhere, you get to draw the facial expression, and it turns out real well. And that's what happened on the cover particularly. I thought that was great the way you did that.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Facial expressions are probably my favorite thing to do. Which is why it's a good thing that the next project we do, the main character has a helmet on all the time.
So we'll have to, you'll have to, you're going to make Justin write all the dialogue in there. That's what's going to have to happen.
Well, it's working with artists who are good at that. That was amongst the many things that Trad is good at. He's very good at expression and body language, which meant that my my comic books, the Luther Strode books, probably had about 40% less dialogue than they would have with an artist. And that is true of Death of Love, actually. It would probably need a lot more dialogue and explaining than has actually gone into the final product.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. Now, of course, when this gets done, they're going to collect it into a trade, do you figure?
Of course.
Yeah. That'd be fun. I could see this being a Christmas or a Valentine's Day present very easily, especially to comic fans. I could see this happening quite a lot because it's a great story. Well, I hope you get to do these Death of series, and I hope you get to make things come out. Well, what we ought to do, too, though, before I let you go, is let's find out how to keep track of what you're up to. Donald, do you have any social media stuff? Are you on Facebook? Anything like that?
I am on Facebook. You can find me with Donald DeLay on there. I'm also on Twitter, Donald T. DeLay. And I'm also on Instagram. It's, I think that's just Donald DeLay.
Okay.
Or it's also Donald T. DeLay. One of those two.
Okay. Okay. Now, Justin, I see you all over the place on social media. So you've got a whole lot of places. Do you want to give the ones that we should follow the most?
Yeah, I think probably the easiest ones are Twitter, which is Justin_Jordan, and my Facebook fan page, which is Justin Jordan Comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to keep those updated fairly regularly. I have an Instagram page, but it's literally 6 pictures of my cat, so I don't know. She is adorable, but otherwise I'm not sure how interested people would be.
Does she talk? Is she the talking cat?
No, you know what's funny is, as people in my personal life have pointed out, since I got a cat a couple of years ago, I've gotten a little cat obsessed and they've shown up in much of my work. However, the cat and the thing we were working on actually predates me having a cat, so.
Oh, wow. So it wasn't a record, you didn't have to require a cat that talked in order to be able to get one.
No. And she is, by cat standards, not very talkative, actually.
Oh, so, interesting.
Yeah, ironically.
Interesting about that. Okay, well, that's good. Now, I see you at a lot of conventions, Justin. Do you want to talk about ones that are coming up that we'll see you at in 2018?
Oh, sure. I'll be at the next one coming up for me is Emerald City Comic Con out in Seattle, which is like the first weekend in March.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be at Awesome Con in D.C. at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I'm a glutton for punishment, the next weekend I will be at C2E2 in Chicago.
Wow.
And then I will be at Heroes in June, Baltimore in September, and probably New York Comic Con in October.
Ooh. Boy, that's a stellar lineup there. You realize a lot of people would love to be able to get the Emerald City in particular because it's so hard to get into. So
yeah,
cool.
I was lucky. I really like Emerald City, so it'll be fun to go. It's funny because I've got basically like I've got a signing, I got vacation in the first week of February, 2 signings in the middle, travel to Seattle for Emerald City in the first week of March, and then I'm home for like 3 weeks, and then I've got like 3 more things that are like right back to back, which is just the sort of thing I promised myself last year I wouldn't do to myself anymore.
Well, I know a lot of people appreciate seeing you at conventions, and I do. When I get the chance to buy stuff from you and I get to talk with you about your creations and stuff, it's great fun to do that.
So, oh, thank you.
Now, Donald, how about you? Are you at conventions very often? I don't remember seeing you, but of course I wasn't familiar because you hadn't done much before Death of Love that I would be familiar with. But are you going to conventions too?
No, I don't go to a lot of conventions. I've been to one convention. It was at World Chicago in 2005, and that was as a fan.
Okay.
I'm considering going to some conventions later on in the year, mm-hmm. but I'll have to see how finances hold up. Cause we just had a baby, so pretty much all of our money is going right into diapers.
Oh, yeah, real life. Well, real life gets in the way of comics sometimes, and that's what's happening with you. Of course, you know, that's the... You're just a creator. You can't help it. You got to make stuff happen. And so you had a baby in the process.
Yeah, little freeloaders sitting around. They can't get a job to help me go to conventions.
Now, of course, see, I would think that you should probably get to C2E2 as well. Is that because I was thinking that Justin, that's not the one you went to in Chicago, though, was it? Did you go to Chicago?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I like the C2E2 one, too. I like, because I'm big on New York. New York is a big, big con. So if you get a chance to go there, it's great fun. But it'd be fun to see it. Because I got to tell you something. One of the biggest things in Comic Cons are Artist Alley. And Artist Alley is where people sell prints of their work. And I'm always intrigued by that because they'll have writers and stuff in Artist Alley, but they may not sell as much as the artists will. People go there specifically looking for art prints. And I think your stuff would sell pretty well in an Artist Alley in one of the conventions. So I would suggest you give it a thought.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
Because,
well, I would like to go to at least the big conventions, hopefully next year.
Yeah. Well, you know, keep
no
it in
plans
mind.
On having any more kids yet.
Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, it's good stuff. And of course, you can always use your child as a thing for a Cupid in the future if you need to. Image like that. And that'll be all great stuff. So Death of Love is a great fun book. I can't wait to read more of it as it comes out. Again, it's going to be February the 14th, Valentine's Day. It's easy to remember because that's a day that a lot of people remember and live in fear of. So Death of Love will be out, number one. And you'll get 5 issues, and it'll be collected. And I think you're going to really enjoy it. I think it's going to be great fun. And something
it's a great gift for your nerdy loved one.
Yeah, that's right.
Indeed.
That's true. That's going to be the case. So Death of Love, look for it. Number one, right now, go to your comic store and let them know that you want to get this from Image Comics. And I think you're going to like it. And I think what these guys do, keep your ear to the ground for these guys because they make great comics and great storytelling. So you guys keep it up. I think the two of you are doing wonderful stuff. Good talking to you guys. I'll let Donald get back to changing diapers, and I'll let Justin get back to feeding the cat. And we'll hope to talk with you guys again sometime in the near future.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks. Appreciate that.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast, so you can keep reading your comics.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when I'll have another great interview. But until then, keep reading your comics.
What's that?
On the tumbler? Oh, you wouldn't be interested in that.
This baby works just fine.
So what do you think?
Does it come in black?